What's up, everyone? This is the Next Tape Podcast bonus episode with Mikkel and
Antonika,
where we have conversations about different topics. So today, like I said, it's just going to be a bonus episode. It's not going to be along with our original episode listing. Right, Tanika?
Yes.
What are we talking about today?
So we're just going to be kind of doing some news type stuff and kind of focusing on Ontario news.
All right. Okay. What's our first topic of today?
So our first topic is discussing a huge amount of money that the town of Ajax was actually given by the federal government.
Okay.
So the federal government and the town of Ajax have agreed to fast track 580 new housing units over a 3-year period. And with that, they were given $22 million to kind of help with that. So officials and local dignitaries gathered on January 19th at the Papeete Square to announce the big housing boost that Ajax Mayor Sean Collier said is critical. I'm not sure if this is to help with the increasing homelessness in the town, but if it is, I'm all for this. My only thing is, where are we putting the houses?
I mean, when I moved, before I moved here, there was a lot of land. A lot of land. A lot of land. Like, back in 2000s.
Oh, even before that.
Before that, too.
Yeah.
Even before that, like, there was a lot of land. Fast forward to, like, 2024.
It's being built up everywhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of condos being built up everywhere. A lot of houses being built up everywhere, but there's still
the Papeete Square, for example, where they did this, that's only been around the last less than 10 years, less than 10 years,
right?
So I mean, even like there's a building that just got built right by my house where it's like, how in the Lord's name did you make that fit there? But it makes me think like they're gonna start going further north, like north of Taunton, for example, or Steeles, for those people who are in Scarborough, same street. But it makes me wonder if they're going to go further north, because I just don't know where they're going to fit more houses here in Ajax, because we're pretty loaded at this point. The only thing.
I mean, like, it's a good thing that they're adding more, housing, but still doesn't solve the expensive housing crisis that's going on.
Where the increase is coming from isn't because they're building more homes. They're building more homes because there's the demand for it. But the reason that it's increasing, because people from the West End who want to get out of the West End, are coming here in the East End, and that is why the housing prices are going up. That's why it's happening. But that's why I'm saying, like, is this new housing project going to help the already massive homelessness that is growing here in the town, or is this to accommodate the increase of people who are coming from the west to the east? I don't know. I mean, the amount, the increase of people coming from the west to the east has been going on since I was in high school. It's just gradually gotten more and more over the years. So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I want to say, I want to say no. I don't think it's going to help. I think it will be helping, you know, more investors buying more homes and then, you know, vacate them because that's what investors do. Just, you know, just buy them up and then, you know,
tear down, rebuilds. Yeah.
Look for tenants as well to live in there. So, yeah. Well,
let's keep reading and see what the article says, because you might be surprised. So,
okay.
The funds are part of the Housing Accelerator Fund, which was launched last March. It's a $4 billion initiative, part of Canada's national housing strategy, designed to tackle the affordable housing crisis. So, Ajax MP Mark Holland adds that not only will this fund remove barriers that slow down housing, but it will also construct over 11,000 new homes in the town. In the town over the next decade. So, again, how are we fitting 11,000 new homes in even a decade? That's insane to me.
I mean, do we still have a lot of land?
North. Like, north of where I'm at. Like, in the... like I said, north of Taunton. Then yes.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's considered agriculture and you can't touch that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess you could. There's still... there's still even some areas, like if you go up Taunton to like Patch Church area, there's stuff there too that you probably can build upon.
An area by the, you know where the Ajax Casino is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That area too. That area has a lot of land over there too. So like maybe.
It,
you know,
does, but I feel like that's because they also have Gordon Foods near there now.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Amazon plant now.
Yes.
There. I feel like that's becoming more like commercial businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know if they're going to build homes there. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know if that's... there is land there, yes, but I still don't know if they're going to build homes there. So I don't know.
I mean, this is good news for new home buyers, also yes. Investors as well. But I just don't think it's gonna help homelessness, because you know houses is just gonna keep skyrocketing in price.
And like the thing is, like, the homelessness issue is definitely becoming an issue. Like, I don't want to go into any details, obviously, on this podcast, but...
yeah, we already did in the past, but... you know.
No, not so much about that. But what I'm saying is...
oh, okay.
It's becoming such an issue that there's potential actions coming to the town because of it. And what? I'm saying this in the sense where I'm not saying too much, but let's just say I have knowledge. Okay? Say that.
Okay.
Right. And I didn't realize it was my town until I was told, oh yeah, no, it's the shelter in Ajax. And I'm like, oh. So this is definitely becoming a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's being tackled, if it's being tackled.
I think it's a problem in Durham region.
Well, yes, Durham region in general. Yes, but in particular, the town of Ajax never dealt with this on this level.
Yeah.
And now, in the space of a few years since the pandemic, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
And right now, we're not seeing them as much because it's colder, whatever, right? But we're seeing the, you know, them being somewhere. Like, I think I recently just saw, like, cereal boxes and whatnot in the GO train station, and there's no bodies there. So it's clearly they're buying food because it's right by Food Basics, for example.
Yeah.
And then when the summer months hit, you see them everywhere. Yeah. That's the problem. And also, my mom was saying this to me. People are being verbally and physically accosted by the homelessness population right now in front of the library. You can't even get into the library without someone potentially coming at you. That is unsafe. At least with the homelessness in Toronto, they're not coming at you like that.
No.
You don't feel unsafe around them for the most part. But that makes me feel unsafe, knowing that they're like that and nothing's being done. And I blame the town for that. So if this is a way to combat that, I'm 100% in, because something needs to be done. But if they're not, and it's just a way to bring more people this way, then I have a problem with that. And it's not just Ajax. It's happening in Bippy too. It's happening in Pickering. It's happening everywhere. Where they're building. Well, I'm talking more about the home, the help make creating more homes and whatnot. Even Whippy. How are they finding space? Whippy is jam-packed, but yet we're still building homes. So that's like, I don't know. I don't know if the homeless population has increased in Whippy. I'm not in Whippy enough to know.
I work in Oshawa, so I know the.
Oh, but Oshawa's always been that way.
Yeah.
That's not new.
Yeah. It's crazy in Oshawa.
Yes. You know? Yes. But it's always been. It always was the way of the homelessness population was either in Oshawa or in Toronto. Like, the majority of them were in those two areas. It's unusual to have them outside of there. Especially in Ajax, there's nothing in Ajax for them. I can understand Oshawa, especially because there was the homeless shelter there. There was like the Covenant House there. That makes sense. So
let me ask you a question. So do you think this will help decrease homelessness?
If they're using it for that purpose, yes. But if they're not, then no. But let's continue. So so this is from, I believe, Mark Holland. So to start, we're allowing for duplexes across the town, increasing density and height restrictions around the GO station and during recent transit stops, and embracing inclusionary zoning and encouraging accessory units where they make sense. Actually, no, this was not Mark Holland. This was Collier, the mayor. So according to officials, the fund will ultimately change how homes are built by cutting red tape. I don't know exactly what that means, but anyways.
What does that mean? Cutting red
tape? Well, red tape is kind of like when you say, like, you know, you're kind of stuck in like the policies and being stuck in those, and you can't really do certain things because you're dealing with the red tape. It's kind of support I'm looking for. Boundaries you have to cross and you can't necessarily cross easily. What's the word I'm trying to come up with? The better word I'm trying to come up with, and I can't figure it out. I can't remember. Brain fart. Anyways, it's like boundaries that are not easy to cross because you're dealing with the red tape of it all.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Kinda, but not.
Okay. If I can figure out the better word for it, then it might help.
No, it's all, you're good. You're good.
Okay. So last fall, Ajax Mare used his strong mare powers to expedite twin 60-story developments in the town's major transit area. So let me read that again. Mayor, the expedite twin 60-story development. I'm thinking the Pat Bailey Square. But that one, though, he said this was a year ago. So it's either that. No, I think it's the apartment by me. Apartments by me. Because I think there's two of them there. So I think it's the ones by me. Like, have you been in my area lately?
Not in quite a bit. So,
okay. So right by me, they put up apartment. I think they're apartment buildings. I don't think they're condos, but they're apartment buildings right by me, like right across the street from me. So behind where the Pizza Nova is, you know that the plaza where the Pizza Nova is.
Yeah, I think so.
Across from the Tim Hortons. That plaza, the one that's across from Tim Hortons. Yeah,
I see.
So they literally put the apartments behind the plaza. So I think that's what it is they're talking about.
Okay. Huh.
So
yeah.
He continues on by saying, we're going to work with the region of Durham and other partners to increase affordable housing. So affordable housing, but I don't know if affordable housing means something that the homelessness can get access to as well. Not sure. And council has already committed to hiring an affordable housing liaison using these funds, and we'll be looking at ways to incentivize more affordable units. So according to the federal government, since last September, so I don't know if that's 2023 or 2022, over $38 billion has been committed to building almost 152,000 units and the repair of over, and the repair of over 241,000 units, prioritizing those with the great need, including seniors, indigenous peoples, peoples experiencing homelessness, and women and children fleeing violence. So that's great. That I like to hear.
Yeah, that's good. That's great news.
Yeah.
That, Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, also it keeps going like that, you know, so so
but that's it for that. So the next thing we're gonna talk about is the layoffs that are happening within Bell Canada. Is kind of major. So Bell Canada Enterprises, also known as BCE Inc., has left workers just reeling after announcing plans on Thursday to cut 9% of its workforce, which is roughly 4,800 jobs across the country. That's a lot. And this would be a historic and unprecedented mass layoff within Bell. So on top of the workers that have been or will be let go, Bell has announced it would be selling off 45 radio stations, closing more than 100 of the source stores. That's not surprising to me at all, actually.
I didn't know Bell owned the source. Until you brought it to me, I was like,
"Where did this news come from?" I kind of figured that out by accident, but I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. So when I was buying my headphones, my wireless headphones, which was probably about 2 years ago, and I got them at the source. And they was like, the guy was trying to sell me a cell phone plan, and it was through Bell. So that was kind of my indication that Bell owned the source. But I'm not surprised that there'd be like kind of closing source stores, because that's kind of been slowly happening. I've been seeing that happen within like Toronto, for example. We had a source store like right by my work. It left before the pandemic even happened. There was another one in another tower. For those who work in Toronto, the First Canadian Place, there was one in there. Right. And it left after the pandemic, never came back. And then I think there actually is one in Brookfield, for those people who are in Toronto who know the buildings. I think there is one in Brookfield. Surprisingly, I was surprised to see it. And then like the mall, Eaton Center, does have one. Actually, they have two in there. One on the Queen's side, one on the Dundas side. On the Dundas side. I'm not sure the Dundas side is still there. I'm actually not even sure the Queen one's still there.
Yeah.
It might not be. I'm not sure. I haven't been there, and like, I avoid the Eaton Center by all means possible if I can. So yeah, so there's that. And it's also ending most of its noon and weekend newscasts, which I think is affecting City.
CTV?
CTV? One of the two.
I think it's City.
I'm trying to figure out which freaking article I'm on here, because it's this one, but I think it's City.
Yeah, City TV. Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
And then all we kind of had, that I think City. Global doesn't, I think Global, at least they used to, I don't know if they still do. They do, do they do a 12:30 one? I don't think they do, actually. They do a 6 o'clock, and then they do one at 10 or 11 o'clock.
Oh, like at night. What? Oh, they never do mornings, right? They never do.
I don't think Global does mornings, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. And then CTV, similar. I think they do like a 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do like one. And then City also does breakfast television. So I don't know if like they might not do an afternoon, but then they still have BT. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, BT kind of has that news element to it too. But it's not just news. So my limited knowledge of breakfast television was when my grandma used to watch it. So I don't know everything, but it's not just a news show. So I don't know. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I remember, you know, listening to the radio station, you know, 680 News every single day.
Yes, they own that too, huh? 680 News and that kind of
thing. Is it 680 News?
I'm not sure if they own 680. I think it's 680, the news that they own. I think.
I checked that, yeah. Well, yeah, if they own 680 News, and yeah, I used to listen to 680 News. But yeah, 680 News every morning. Used to wake up and just like listen to the radio. Nowadays, I don't listen to radio. I either listen to podcasts, or I listen to or I watch something like, you know, on either, you know, Netflix, because podcasts and streaming on, you know, Netflix or, you know, other things like that are taking over. That's why a lot of these layoffs are happening at Bell. So
but then also like you have like, you know, radio stations who do podcasts as well.
Definitely
you can get the news as well, like CHFI. Mm-hmm. For example, they have a podcast. If you want to listen to like, I don't know, what's the other one there? 93.5, whichever one Roz and Mocha are on. They have podcasts too, and they've had one for years. So, like,
I mean, they're more of a Aren't they like a radio station?
But you gotta remember, radio stations still report the news. Even if it's pop culture news, it's still news. And if there's like a high level thing that's happening, they're gonna report that too.
Right.
So it's, yes, it's a music station, but they do report the news. That's how it's always been.
Right.
And then also, if you want to get like whatever news you want to know, whether it is pop culture or, you know, if you want to know what's happening, like with the wars or what car accidents have happened or what murders are happening or whatever, there's so much available to you by listening to a podcast if that's the route you want to go.
Right.
The issue is, though, when you have people like my grandparents, for example, or even my mom for that matter, who don't listen to podcasts.
They
rely on the news.
Yeah,
that comes on television.
Yeah, they're more traditional. Like people listen to the older generation listens to radio. So
radio or watch it on TV.
On TV, yeah. So
I mean, they're not eliminating it completely, but they clearly can't keep up with
down,
it.
Yeah, trimming down the fat.
Right.
I know Bell owns a lot of, you know, or bought a lot of podcasts, and you know, are now selling them, so because they're not making any money for them, so
according to a tipster, Bell told its employees it will wind down head office and back office operations for the source and close some of the stores, which we've mentioned. And the Bell is actually, for those who want to know, their head office is in Quebec. Most head offices are in Quebec, probably Montreal, so that's where it is. So this tipster estimates that Bell will lay off roughly 1,000 of its employees between closing more than 107 stores and shuttering operations at the Barrie, Ontario head office. So there's that too. A Bell spokesperson confirmed to this article that it was winding down operations at the source headquarters. So this article's Mobile Syrup, never heard of them. If you're interested in finding it, you can probably find it by putting in Mobile Syrup or something. So it says, we're transitioning 165 of the source stores to Best Buy Express. So you can still get Best Buy stuff if that's what you want to do. So that's where they're going to be doing that. I forget they own Best Buy too.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that.
Interesting.
I forgot about that.
I thought Best Buy just owned Best Buy.
Best Buy was under Future Shop, remember?
Yeah.
Interesting. So with the remainder closing in 2024, so it's this year. As part of this transition, Bell is winding down operations at the source headquarters in Barrie, which will happen in phases over the next several months. Right. So while the original Best Buy Express report indicated that Bell will only transition 165 of its more than 300 stores, it's interesting to learn that the company will also wind down the source's head office. So a lot of people are going to be losing their jobs.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting the timing of the news coming just at the heels of Bell's 2024 Let's Talk Day, which for those who don't know, that's highlighting mental health, mental health day basically. Wow. The company, I found this very interesting. The company has a penchant for doing layoffs around its annual mental health event.
Yeah.
So that sounds very hypocritical to me. You do this thing of Bell Let's Talk Day where you're doing an amazing thing, and that's great, but you're not taking care of your own people, because with these layoffs could potentially cause a lot of mental problems, health issues,
right? health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I find that really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's contradicting themselves by basically saying that they care about mental health, and then they just do the layoffs because, you know, people need to, you know, buy groceries, pay their rent. Mm-hmm. What else am I missing?
Just live.
Live just, in general. You know,
do daily life. Do daily, day-to-day things that people need to do. And, like, food is expensive. Regular toiletries, my God, it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. And, like, as a woman, too, when you have to buy, you know, feminine products that you have to literally throw out within a couple of hours, maybe, depending on the day of the week you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit's expensive too. What if you have a baby and you have to pay for diapers, wipes, formula if you're not breastfeeding? And it's a lot. And yes, you have employment insurance to fall back on, but that's like 60 or 70% of whatever you're making, and it can only maybe last just under a year, depending on how long you've been working for. Like,
so when they do the layoffs, do they give severance to
they probably will.
Yeah, but it's whatever. Probably won't last very long though. Like,
well, it depends. It depends on how they're handling it too. Mm-hmm. But I imagine like your Bell Canada, you should be able to give people what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And also to cover their asses, you have to give them what they deserve. So, like, for example, if you've been working for 5 years, you are automatically entitled to 5 weeks of pay as a severance.
Yeah.
But under the circumstances, I think they should give more. But anyways.
Well, a lot of companies do this every single year. You know, it's been a running trend every single year, like with these tech companies and, you know, telecom companies. Mm. Every early, you know, probably around like, you know, January, February, even March, they just lay off.
And when they do their year end.
Yeah, because they can't afford. I don't understand. Why do you hire so many people if you can't afford it?
You're speaking to my heart right now, because that's kind of a similar thing that happened within my company as well. Like, again, I'm not going to go into any details with that, but like, that's a similar thing that happened as well. And it's also stressful for those people who aren't one of those people who are being laid off.
Yeah.
It's stressful because you're just like, oh my God, when's the ass going to fall on me? You know, so it was also that part of it too. But yeah, I know it's sometimes it makes you kind of think, what are y'all doing? What's the thought process? Why hire a bunch of people if you're just gonna let them go? But and again, it's always the ones that get hired last are always the ones that get let go first, or the ones who make a lot of money. They're always the ones that get let go because they can't afford it.
Well, corporate's gonna tell you, we're just trying to save some money, so, you know, it's better for, you know, our customers in the future.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, again, a company that has, maybe they've taken on too much, but a company that has been around, I mean, my mom has been a customer of Bell since, I can't remember, since my mom basically been living on her own, which has been the better part of 30 years. And it's great, sure, think of your clients or whatever, but like, think of the people who also do the work for you.
Right. Yeah. So,
I don't know.
I agree.
So do we have any more thoughts about Bell or moving on?
No. Well, just, I don't know, just be more, let me see, I'm trying to think of a thought for Belle, but not being, you know, harsh and being,
why do they care?
I don't think they care. I guess don't contradict yourself.
And, yeah, that's the biggest thing for me is the let's talk thing, and then they're constantly laying people off. That's a big one for me.
Yeah, and you know, say that you care for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, yes, you still have a business to run, but it's just interesting that you pick then to start to do your layoffs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like, I take part in Belle Let's Talk. My company has taken part in Belle Let's Talk. Mm-hmm. My mom has. It's a day that we tend to not miss, you know, liking or sharing or whatever. Yeah. We do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting to kind of see. Yeah. That's how you're conducting yourself. So.
Yeah. Just stop hiring so much people if you're gonna lay them off in early the next year.
Yeah.
Just stop. Yeah. It's that simple. Either you just hire amount of people that you believe that you can afford, or you know, or don't hire them at all.
I think a company like Belle, because I've kind of heard this before too. You think like when you're hiring people, like for example, like my company went through a huge point where they were just hiring one person after another of like, who are these people? And it was happening during a time where a lot of companies were on hiring freezes because of the pandemic. So they always have this outlook of things are going to be great, right? We're going to be great. And that's what the hope is. And I believe with a company like mine, it definitely was the outlook that things are going to be great. They weren't expecting things to not be great. But a company like Belle, you should know whether or not you can afford to hire more people. You have meeting after meeting after meeting about this. You know what your budget is. And one of the biggest expenses for companies is payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So then why are you hiring more people if you can't afford it?
And that goes for all the companies who say that same thing. All the companies, even my bank, Wells Simple, every single company that says that you cannot, we have so much hires, we have to lay them off. Stop overhiring.
And again, it's one thing, like if you're hiring people on like a contract because you have a need at that time for whatever reason that might be. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But when you are just hiring to hire, and let's say they're not contract, they're full time, whatever, that's solely different. Because then if you're, the end place is just going to be laying them off, that's not great. Because every company has its need where it needs to hire because for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
But I think it happens in the legal industry too. But it's just, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's on a contract. And it's, you know, maybe there's potential for that to be full time. But nonetheless, if it were to happen, you know, because, well, it was contract. You know, that was my first job too in my industry, was a contract position. That was meant to be full time. That's not how it turned out.
Yeah. That's corporation for you. They will just lie right in front of your face.
Well, in my situation with my first job, they expected it was supposed to pick up. That was the expectation, and the contract was initially for 3 months. With it potentially being, because some companies do probation as a contract situation too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Started,
but it was meant to be full time. Because the business wasn't quite what they expected it to. Again, that was working in financial services, which is very similar to dealing with real estate transactions. That's okay. What it just wasn't picking up. But my company still kept me on for an additional 4 months. Yeah, four mm-hmm. months. As kind of what they call a floater. Again, if you work in the legal industry, you know what that means. Where you're basically just going around and going to different departments that have the need a floater there or need a body there for whatever mm-hmm. reason. They kept me on for that. But once they couldn't keep me on anymore, then they had to let me go because there was no need for me. And they couldn't hire me. There's nowhere to put me. So in those cases, like, that makes sense.
Yeah, that, yeah.
But
I 100% agree.
Yeah. But with Bill, come on, guys. Like, you must know really and truly if you need this person or whatever the case may be. I don't know. It's unfair. Something like the source, I understand, because the source,
they're not making
the money, right? Because again, even though I got my wireless earbuds from the source, I didn't have to do that. I could have gone to Samsung directly. I could have gone to a TELUS. I could have done all of that somewhere else. It didn't have to be the source or Best Buy or anything like that. I could have gone to Amazon, done it that way too, you know? So that's the thing. These companies are falling because of Amazon. Jeff Bezos have done it. So that's the problem too.
I was about to say that these companies are falling because of Amazon. It's been like that since the tech boom.
See, you know, Amazon is huge and has been huge for a really long time. And I feel like the increase of, because like Amazon was something I didn't use often, but I started using Amazon a lot more during the pandemic and have continued using Amazon since. So, you know, Amazon has just skyrocketed. And then in turn, these companies are falling down because of it. It's not surprising. We kind of all knew that was going to happen.
I'm sure people share the same story as you. So,
Even my mom didn't use Amazon before the pandemic, and now she does.
She does. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's move on. To another topic, which is kind of fun, kind of weird, kind of scary, depending on how you want to put it. But we're going to be talking about the crayfish outbreak in Burlington. Nice. You guys over there in Burlington, I'm really sorry to tell you. So, an invasive species of crayfish that reproduces by cloning itself. It clones itself. Here's how it does it. We'll get to how it does it. Was discovered last summer, so I'm assuming 2023, in Burlington, Ontario, in a park. We'll see which park it is in a little bit. Which is the first time that the marbled crayfish has been identified in the wild in North America, in all of North America.
Wow.
Canada, America, Mexico, all of us. It's the first time in good old Burlington, Ontario. So since then, a group of experts have been working to stop the species from spreading. So the crayfish were found in City View Park, which is on Burlington's southwest border with Hamilton. So y'all could be affected a little bit too. So the main expert that's kind of in this article, his name is Brooke Scherer. We're gonna say Scherer. Sherrier, whatever. He is a member of the working group responding to the detection toll. So he's kind of working with that. And it seems, though, as scary as this might be in a minute, the population is contained at the pond that they found them in this park. And the pond has been drained. So, to kind of help with the situation. So, they say that the detection is concerning because crayfish can outcompete native species, alter the food chain, spread diseases, and affect biodiversity. If populations grow, there could be negative impacts that experts have yet to anticipate. The group will continue monitoring the surrounding area. Out of concern, they could still spread. So, Burlington, don't worry. They're still on the case. So, initially, invasive species get somewhere by humans. So, we'll talk about that too. How to prevent this from happening. Humans. But once established, it's just inevitable that a species is going to spread naturally. So, our expert here, Brooke, is the assistant coordinator with the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters Invading Species Awareness Program. That is a really long program. We need to narrow that down. So, his organization works with the province and other partners to track invasive species like our crayfish here and educate people about them, which I'm going to help him with. So, in this case, the partners include the City of Burlington, Conservation Halton, the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, also known as MNRF, and Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Whew. So let's kind of...
That's a lot of words.
So many words. So one crayfish, we're going to start talking about how they populate. One crayfish can establish a whole population of crayfish. You're probably wondering how that's even possible. Well, let's get to it. According to Ontario's Invasive Species Center, the crayfish, which is also called marmogrebs, I think, is thought to have originated in the German pet trade that happened in the 1990s before arriving in North America in the early 2000s.
Interesting.
So, yes. All known crayfish have been female. Get it, ladies? We've been doing it. We don't need these men. We don't need these men. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This is why they say. And they reproduce asexually, creating genetically identical offspring. So they've been doing this shit by themselves. At the end of the day, that's what we gotta do. We gotta do shit by ourselves. No. Because these men ain't loyal.
Okay. I want to say something, but I'll just keep that to myself.
If you want to get the job done, ladies, you got to do it yourself. That's all I'm saying. Let the women do the work.
I'm going to say that I want to keep this PG. Keep this PG.
Okay.
You need a man. That's it.
we don't. There are lesbian partners who have children without, we still need a man, but
that's all I want to say.
We don't need them. We just need what man. They have to offer.
Hashtag need men.
You know what? The crayfish don't need the men. They're doing it themselves. That they are doing it asexually.
Okay.
They're fine. It's fine.
All right.
So, Brooke said that feature has made them popular among people who own predatory aquatic pets that might eat them. So, like, if the people eat the fish or the crayfish, which, Louisiana, you have a thing for crayfish. I know you do. I've seen it. Although, it looks really good when they cook them. So,
it does.
Crawfish, what do you call it? Crawfish. And if you don't forget, I'm going to try to remember. So, anyway. Since buying one marbled crayfish secures an exponential food source, because they reproduce by themselves, so they can have endless amount of food.
Nice.
But that ability to reproduce is also what makes the species so dangerous. Whereas other invasive species often require several individuals, because in those cases they need the men. To establish a population, one marbled crayfish alone can create hundreds more. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it
is. So, crayfish first reported in 2021 took 2 years to ID. So, we'll talk about that a little bit. So, although the marbled crayfish population was formally identified in July, the report that led to its finding was created in October 2021. So, it took 2 years. When someone shared a photo of a crayfish at City View Park on citizen science tool iNaturalist, didn't know that was real, in an effort to identify it. The post flew under the radar until Brooke's colleague, with another name I'm going to have an issue saying, Remek Hemar, I think I got it, a biologist.
Nice.
Thank you. That Brooke calls Dr. Crayfish, so I think I'm going to call him that going forward, Dr. Crayfish.
Okay.
So Dr. Crayfish flagged it as likely being a marbled crayfish and reported it to the OMNRF, so Ontario Ministries Nash some whatever, one of those forestry ones. In May 2022, Brooke, Dr. Crayfish, and their team went to City View Park to conduct a search, set traps, and collect samples using environmental DNA technology in an attempt to find the species. But they definitely struggle to find them because the crayfish are notoriously difficult to catch. And despite positive eDNA, which is the other one I just said, the environmental DNA, they couldn't find any specimens on that visit or on a repeat visit in August 2022, so roughly a year later. Last winter, city workers drained the ponds in an attempt to freeze and kill the crayfish. Gotta do what you gotta do. That had burrowed underground for the winter, so I guess during winter they just burrow themselves down to the under, you know, the dirt to keep warm. Didn't find any physical evidence then either, so they struggled to find them. Dr. Crayfish said the crayfish can survive in temperatures as low as about 4 degrees Celsius. Still not freezing temperatures though, but at freezing temperatures, what they end up doing is they go dormant and painlessly freeze to death. Alligators apparently do the exact same thing. They can go dormant, and they could actually, if they freeze, they actually can stay alive. But if they don't thaw in a certain amount of time, then they die. There was a case of that in Florida, I believe, like recently. I think it's Florida.
So they're like, if you put them in like in a tube, an ice tube, they just freeze over time. Just like
they go dormant, freeze, like, oh, okay. Yeah, that seems a crayfish can't be frozen for very long before they just die.
Like for 2,000 years?
No, I think less than that. Like way less than that.
Less than that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like maybe a matter of a few weeks.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but if I find it interesting, though, this article says that they die painlessly. How do you know? Did you ask them?
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know how they feel. Uh-huh. Like, you never feel it.
Like, on their way out, they're like, did that hurt?
Like, did you...
Did you die? Did that hurt on the way to heaven? Like,
What's those numb vaccines when you just numb the... What do they call those?
Like, the freezing...
Yeah,
like you could freeze the area before they do freeze like
it, yeah, needles. And then they that's probably what they meant by like they didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, well, that shit doesn't work. That shit doesn't work.
No,
actually, no, it actually does work. I am a child that hated needles, mm-hmm. and my mom wouldn't use those on me.
Yeah,
to help numb the area, but there was one time where she had to do that because I was. An anomaly, so they had to lie, had a lot of tests done as a kid, and when they did the needle, did the blood work, and I freaked out because I hate needles. I still do to this day, but I'm an adult, so I have to deal with it. And I kicked, I screamed, I did the whole thing because I quote unquote felt it. And my mom was like, I used the freezing thing, so I don't know what happened. I recently admit to my mom, actually, I didn't feel anything. Because I remember. I'm like, I didn't feel anything. She's like, so you did that. Why? I'm like, because I hate needles. You know what you say? So my mom wasn't happy like 30 years later. But anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. So apparently warming helps crayfish spread. So, on follow-up visits through the summer and fall in 2023, working group members captured multiple marbled crayfish, set traps, and took samples to look for them in areas around the park. Warmer winters, like we've kind of had some warmer days this month, are one of the reasons this and other species of invasive crayfish are starting to cause problems in Europe. North America, this is what Dr. Crayfish told us, because it becomes easier for crayfish to live through the season. So if one survives, then boom, you're going to have 200 pretty soon. So crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Although the park is relatively landlocked, Burlington is within important ecological areas such as the Grindstone Creek watershed. Don't know what that is, where the marble crayfish could do some harm. Fortunately, though, as things stand, Brooke and Dr. Crayfish said the population seems confined to the park. So, oof. While crayfish can and do travel across land, yikes. He said there are a few places they could go without crossing busy roadways. So if y'all want to go and cross the street, you will die on the way there. Problem solved.
Wow.
So he's hoping that dewatering will have worked. So I guess we'll kind of figure that out as time goes. They're still monitoring, as I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So they'll kind of figure out if that will help. But even if it has, work on the crayfish continues, as I just said. And Brooke said he has heard reports of recent detection in good old Nova Scotia. You guys are going to be having to deal with the problem too. And Nova Scotia is not landlocked.
Oh, wow.
No. I think they're not landlocked, right? No, not landlocked.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. They're
too much.
They have water around. Where are the... I think that's where the victims of Titanic are buried, so I'm pretty sure they're not landlocked because they had to get them there by boat.
Let me see.
I think was that I was just recently, I found out that the victims are buried in Nova Scotia. I never knew that. I think it's Nova Scotia. I get confused between Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. I'm pretty sure it's Nova Scotia is where they're buried, which means that it's not landlocked. So that could be a problem. Because that's a whole ass ocean.
Yeah, they're not landlocked.
That's a problem, guys. So as we kind of talked about in our very first episode, or not the very first episode of this year, the second episode of this year, we talked about the fact that Ontario has banned crayfish. So Brooke said that all the work in Burlington shows just how resource intensive the fight to contain these species is. The working group suspects that Burlington's population is the result of someone who did it letting go of crayfish they had as pets. Which one of y'all did it? Who did it? You're messing this up for everybody else.
Yep.
Marbled crayfish are regulated as a prohibited invasive species under Ontario's Invasive Species Act. Didn't know that existed either, which means it is illegal to import, possess, deposit, release, transport, breed, slash, grow, buy, sell, lease, or trade them. So, whoever did it, you broke the law. You will probably, they'll never know who did it, but you broke the law. You know who you are. Yeah. You know who did it.
What's the penalty or the...
I'm not sure.
If you...
I'm not sure. You can find that out if you want to find that out. I'm not 100% sure on that one. So at the start of this year, the province designated new invasive species, including the genus, I guess how you say it, that includes marbled crayfish. And we did mention that very, very briefly. Rocambrus, which, and then another crayfish species called Pacificus. Sure. Doctor.
Probably another long name.
Yes, it is. Dr. Crayfish said this should make it easier to stop those species from spreading. He and Brooks said that it's crucial that people with marbled crayfish know. Listen to me. If you have these suckers, which I don't even understand why you would, they are ugly. But nonetheless, if you do have crayfish, listen to this. So if you do have them in your possession, report them to the MNRF. That's the Ministry of Forestry and whatever else. And do not release them or flush them down the drain. Okay? Or flush them down your toilet. They are not little goldfishies who went belly up. These are very dangerous species of crayfish. They also say do not by any means pour out the water from the aquarium that they were housed in, because what could happen is that they could contain small juvenile crayfish, which is basically their offsprings, and they are tiny. They're really tiny. They honestly could be mistaken as they're not earwigs, but you know the bugs, they're kind of red and they have these little pincers at the, like on their top. Maybe they are earwigs, but they can bite you if you're not careful. They're very tiny and they usually always come out in the summertime. They kind of look like that. They're very little. Very little.
Interesting.
So, why they say that is you might not even realize you're flushing them down because of how tiny they are. They're microscopic, and almost microscopic, honestly.
So if you flush them, it can come through. It can come like out through the your toilet and just, you know, by your your butt, I would say.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's not what that means. If you, so like, for example, if you have, it's not supposed to crawl up your butt. It's not about that. It's because what happens is when you're flushing them and they're going through the drainage system.
Right.
And they end up wherever all that drainage system goes, they grow into full adult crayfish. And then what that ends up doing, once they're adult crayfish,
clogging the...
No. Oh. Well, yes, but no.
Yeah.
Once they grow into adult crayfish,
mm-hmm.
they're going to reproduce, and they can do that on their own. You see what I mean?
Right.
So the issue is that because they are able to self-produce on their own, they can do this on their own, they don't need a partner, that means they can only grow that much faster. So, like, you could have one crayfish, and that one crayfish can turn into 200, 300, 400, and then we're going to have a situation with that.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. But that's it. That's all I got.
So... interesting episode. We talked about
we talked about bell layoffs, we talked about this crayfish just now,
and
we talked
about the Ajax
housing project. Yep. I guess,
yeah, that the government's given 20 million.
22 million.
Is it 22 million? Nice. Okay, so this ends our bonus episode of the Next Tape Podcast. The Next Tape Podcast is available now on all podcast platforms. We are also, we also have a website called solo.to/nexttapepodcast. Where else are we at, Tanika?
We also have Facebook and Instagram at Next Tape Podcast. And we have Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok. And you can find us at Next Take Pod.
Okay. We also have an email. So if you want to do business with us, or, you know, just want to contact us of any like type of questions, contact us at mikaltanika@gmail.com. Okay. So, do you have anything to say to people, Tanika? Any updates on what's coming?
Well, we will have another bonus episode for you this month. So that is coming. And we do have a regularly scheduled episode. I'm not sure what you would have gotten yet, but you may or may not have gotten our women's history, or are more highlighting women for Women's History Month or Women's Month. I think they would have gotten that by the time you hear this.
Yes.
We
definitely
are going to have, which I'm so excited for, a special Broadway episode. I'm so excited for. So we're going to be doing that too. You'll be getting that, I think, the week after you hear this, like the second episode of March, be that one. So we have that.
Oh,
I can't remember anything else.
Nice. Oh, okay. So, we most likely this will be in March, this episode.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to what we have done in February, listen to our Black History Month series from 1 to 4, I believe.
5.
Is that right? 5?
5.
1 to 5. 1 to 5.
February is long.
Yeah.
We're still in February right now.
Pretty much, yeah. We are still in February. So just give those a listen if you have the time. So, I guess that's it.
Yep.
For now. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'd like to thank the supporters who are supporting this podcast. We hit 3,000 downloads. Woo! So we didn't know we could achieve that so quickly. Yeah. It's like, you know, like 6 months. It's been like, what, 6 months since we launched this podcast?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Since September?
September, yeah.
2020, yeah. September 2023, yeah. So, thank you. We will continue to keep doing this podcast. We want to get to 10,000 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll see. We have so much more coming your way.
Yeah.
Full year.
Yeah. True. Yeah, that's true. So, thank you. Okay. All right. So, I'm Mikal. And
I'm Tanika.
We are out until next week. Later.
Bye.